This audio program is brought to you courtesy of Audible.com. Audible, audio that speaks to you wherever you are.
BBC Audiobooks now present a unique glimpse into the last days of pirate radio in the 1960s. Incredibly, this recording was found at the bottom of the sea, in the recently discovered wreck of one such floating radio station. It has been carefully restored, thanks to the work of archivist James Goss, and is now played here for the very first time. Due to the age of the recording, the sound quality may vary.
Hello, I'm the Doctor. And if you can hear this, then one of us is going to die. If I'm lucky, you're listening to this on the boat, looking out at the sea and the gulls. Lots of gulls. Of course, if I'm not lucky, you're listening to this somewhere else. Perhaps even at home, in which case it's too late. It's already escaped. And it's the end of the world. Of course, I didn't realise that when I arrived on the boat. The first thing I saw was Layla, trying to make toast in the dark. "Hello," I said, watching as she bashed the toaster against the counter repeatedly. "Hiya," she muttered, and carried on pounding the toaster. "It's not going to work," I said. She looked at me sharply. She was as beautiful then as she is now. Short, cropped blonde hair, black and white patterned dress, and a red majorette's jacket crammed on top. "Why not, Chuck?" she asked, crossly. I shrugged. "Power cut," I explained. "Oh," she sighed, dropping the toaster. "It's my turn to DJ. I'm supposed to be on air, but the transmitter's gone down, so there's nothing else to do. I always like toast in a crisis." I knew how she felt. "Allow me," I said, and aimed a blast of the sonic screwdriver at the toaster. "Showing off, I know, but within seconds, two slices of toast popped out into her hands. I mean, okay, strictly speaking, they're not toasted. I've simply sonically stimulated the sugar molecules into caramelization, but..." Layla looked around for a knife, and not finding one, grabbed the sonic screwdriver and energetically buttered her toast with it. Then she sat, cross-legged, watching me intently. It was then that I realised we were rocking gently backwards and forwards. I looked at her. "Boat?" I asked. She nodded between mouthfuls. I thought. She'd said transmitter. 60s clothes, 1966. It's the bobbles, dead giveaway. And she'd said boat. And boat meant... "Pirate radio station?" I asked. In the 60s, the United Kingdom had been circled by a flotilla of boats, illegally blasting pop music into the ears of teenagers, until the BBC relented and gave them what they wanted. Oh, yeah. Kind of like the Dunkirk of pop. She nodded and wiped some crumbs from her mouth. "And you are?" I spread my arms expansively. "They call me the Doctor," I said. "I'm your new DJ. Come to chill out those cats." "Nope," she smirked and shook her head. "For one thing, no DJ ever sounded like you, pet. For another, we'd have felt your arrival. If the tugboat pulls up, it bumps into the ship. The needle jumps off the record being played on air, and everyone knows. Plus, the tug only comes on Tuesdays, and today is..." "Not Tuesday?" I guessed. She shook her head again, straightened out her skirt, and slid onto the kitchen lino. "Not even close. So who are you, and why are you here?" Just this once, I figured I may as well tell her the truth. I was here hunting the hush. It was a weapon. A weapon used in a great war. The hush existed to consume noise and anything that made noise. It was ruthlessly effective at homing in on and wiping out its enemies, who loved nothing other than to make noise, screaming robotic commands at each other and the universe in general. The problem was that this hush had missed its target and had just torn on through space and time. I'd only just become aware of it, frantically trailing after it, following the devastation it left behind. I had to stop it, and it had come here, to Earth. "And?" said Layla. She was coping very well with the whole time and space and not human thing. I should give out badges for that. "Well, it's here, on your boat, and I've got to stop it before it kills again."
"And what's it like?"
"Oh, it doesn't have a physical form. It's just a ball of vicious noise. It's not intelligent, just nasty, loud and cunning."
"Right," said Layla. "I used to have a boss like that. That was when I decided working in a shop wasn't for me, which is how I became a DJ.
I nodded.
"And you're really from outer space?"
"Yep."
"Cool."
"And you don't have a problem with that?"
Layla shrugged. "When you've met the Beatles, nothing surprises you. Although..."
"Yeah."
"Nah, it's okay, I can ask later."
I checked my watch. "No, go on."
"How come you're dressed like you work in a bank? Shouldn't you have a tinfoil suit?"
"Ah, chafes."
"I see," she said,
finishing the last of her toast.
"Now, this hush thing you're hunting, well, what's the worst that can happen?"
I gestured out of the window. "Where's that?"
"Oh," she said, "Frinton."
"Well," I admitted, "I'm here to save the world. Failing that, Frinton." I'd been on the outer edges of the solar system when I'd realized where it was heading. This one unlucky little radio station. Little Radio Bravo, with its transmitter beaming its signal at just the wrong angle to attract the attention of the hush, calling it to Earth. Chasing after it, I'd heard them all. The smooth tones of DJ Jasper, the easy drawl of a guy called Tomo, and finally, before I came into land, Layla's voice talking me through the pop highlights of the day. And then, I'm afraid, I blew their transmitter. I couldn't risk the hush using it to escape. I had it trapped. 5 minutes later, I was winning over the crew of the good ship Radio Bravo. We'd paused outside the door of the crew room, and Layla had warned me,
"They won't buy your Dr. Space routine. They're blokes. Tiny brains, bless them, but nice to look at."
"Don't worry," I assured her. "I've got a backup plan." So I breezed into the crew room. A crude attempt at making an old fish store look cosy by shoving in a couple of sofas. And, playing darts by candlelight, were the other two crew of the good ship Radio Bravo. "Gentlemen," I began, and I whipped out my psychic paper. Brilliant stuff, psychic paper. Makes whoever reads it believe whatever you want them to. Even convinced security at an ABBA concert that Donna and I were Bjorn and Frida. But, sorry, you don't know Donna, do you? You'd have loved her. So, anyway, psychic paper, bit of a brandish, and... "Afternoon, I'm Dr. John Smith from the Pirate Radio Authority." In the flesh, the other two DJs weren't as impressive as Layla. DJ Jasper wasn't just wearing a cardigan. He looked like he sold them, and his friend Tomo was mostly beard, but I rather liked him. Jasper fiddled with his cravat and stared at me sourly.
"Pirate Radio Authority?"
Bit posh was Jasper. Real old Mr. Smooth. Every radio station needs one. Grannies love him.
"Whatever next? You can't shut us down. We're off air anyway."
"And that's where I've come to help. You see, you're all in great danger, and...
You know, sometimes the inspiration just dries."
Layla stepped forward.
"Dr. Smith was telling me that the storm we are due has caused a dangerous transmitter fault."
Tomo glanced around from throwing a dart.
"What, darling?"
"Well," she pressed on, "you know St. Elmo's fire? Well, it's kind of like that, isn't it? Only with sound."
"Very good," I said. "Dangerous phenomenon, caused by radio stations out at sea. All you need is an electrical storm and a transmitter malfunction, and the result is a ball of killer pop roaming your ship. Seriously."
"Bad vibrations," said Layla.
"Bad, bad, bad vibrations."
"Cheeky," she whispered.
Tomo looked at me, skeptically scratching his beard.
"So what do you want to do about it, man?"
Search the ship and catch it. If it gets out, it could be fatal. Seriously, if that thing gets transmitted, it'll be worse than a Pinky and Perky B-side.
Tomo's reply was slow and impressed.
So, you're saying our music could kill the world? Heavy?
Jasper shrugged.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard. It's just a plot by the BBC to keep us off the air.
And then, without even really looking, he threw a dart and scored a bullseye.
But Jasper, I said patiently, that transmitter being offline is what saved the human race, Jasper. Always use their name and look them in the eye. I travelled for a short while with someone who worked in personnel, learned a few tricks from her. Honestly, Jasper, it means what I'm looking for is trapped on your boat. This is good news.
Oh, yes, it'll probably try and kill us if we find it, but so long as that transmitter's not working, that's joyous. Jasper.
Jasper stared at me and smoothed down his floral shirt, which appeared to have been knitted out of sweat. He tutted.
That's all very well, but will the overall transmission quality suffer?
I spread my hands. Jasper, 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 I promise. Once we've stopped it, my top priority will be making your sound quality so clear, teeny boppers will pick it up on a jam jar, even if it's still full of jam. I looked around at them and gave a big smile.
So, team, let's go hunting.
They looked at me, dubiously. Perhaps calling them team was going too far.
Come to think of it, that was the same mistake poor Marion from personnel had made with the Silurians.
Oh, well.
There was a stony silence for a little bit too long. And then Layla laughed.
I'm with you, she said. You're funny.
Oh, well, I've heard worse.
Jasper sulked in a corner over the quick crossword, and Tomo looked a little lost.
I'd love to help, really I would, man, he drawled heavily. But I'm on air in about an hour, and I'm going to write my script.
How about, hey, listeners, sorry you got destroyed, but luckily, here's the singing nun.
Oh, no. Tomo shook his head emphatically. I'd never play her.
So, it was just Layla and me roaming a dark corridor.
What are we looking for?
She asked. We're not looking for anything, I explained. We're listening for nothing. Around us, the corridors of the boat clicked and pinged with their own music. The boat swayed from side to side, slowly and sadly. It was cold.
The hush is... Well, imagine you're in a quiet room.
A really quiet room, I told Layla. Take away the sound of the traffic outside, the wind in the trees, the ticking of the clock and the buzz of the lights, and what remains between you and the silence. That's the hush. It feeds on sound. It is sound. We're looking for noise. You're all food for it. But we're also looking for the absence of noise. I waved the sonic screwdriver around, the blue light casting reassuring shadows down the corridor.
Let me see if I can...
See? There! I said, pleased.
What is that? Asked Layla. It used to be a pocket of sound. A tasty snack for the hush.
It's now just nothing.
It was here. Layla looked around, shivering.
And where is it now?
The sun was setting. In the distant twilight, Frinton twinkled like a faraway home. A cold breeze swept across the deck and the gulls screamed at us resentfully. Layla and I picked our way gently across the deck, stepping over coils of old rope. You know, you can't have a ship without rope. I don't know why. Most of it's only there to trip you over, if you ask me, or to let sailors show off their knots, but there we are.
Hey, Chuck,
said Layla, shivering in the cold.
Yep. What's outer space like?
Brrr, I began, stumped. And then pointed to the shore. Ever been to Frinton?
Yeah.
Well, it's almost completely unlike Frinton.
Cool.
We walked on a little further.
They got kettles in space?
Oh, yes.
Toasters?
Oh, yes.
Trouser presses? Absolutely.
Now you're footing me leg.
Laughing, she aimed a kick at my ankle. Oh, no, I'm dead serious. If you've got 20 legs, you really need a trouser press. Her eyes widened. Space sounds fun. And you've parked your rocket here.
Well, not really a rocket, but yeah, it's parked.
Can't we all just jump in and leave, like?
I shook my head. There's a monster on the loose. It's my job to hunt it down.
Yeah, she said, unconvinced. But what about us? Wouldn't we be safer in your rocket?
I should have listened to her. Instead, being me...
Safer, yes, but less fun.
Plus, I know your sort. You'd be pushing all the wrong buttons. She giggled.
Blasting off to Jupiter, that'd be me.
Undoubtedly. We reached the hatch at the far end of the deck.
Do you kook in space?
Layla asked me.
I considered telling her a long story about Fanny Craddock's lemon drizzle. Instead, I just nodded. Good, she said, smoothing down her patterned skirt. You can do tea. Don't worry, it's only spaghetti hoops.
I grinned. Let's find the hush, and then I'll open the tins.
Good, she said. I like hoops.
As we moved through the boat, I could tell the storm was coming on. The boat was beginning to rock alarmingly, and it had got very cold. Layla had thrown an oilskin on over her dress. The smell reminded me of the tents of Genghis Khan. I told her this, and she smirked. I pulled the sonic screwdriver out of my pocket and fiddled with the settings.
What is that again?
She asked. Sonic screwdriver, I said.
Right, she said. And they use those in space, do they?
Absolutely, I said.
Well, that's nice. And what exactly does it do?
Good question. Very good. I was impressed. Well, it does your basic screwdrivery things, only with sound. You know, screws in holes, lids off tins of golden syrup, stones out of horses' hooves. But it does a whole lot more if you're clever with your sound waves. In this case, I'm trying to configure it so that I can bounce sound around the ship. If I can trace those pockets of silence as the hush moves about, then maybe we can track it. It's a bit like anti-sonar. I switched the screwdriver on and waited.
Oh,
said Layla.
What? Does the torch bit do any colour other than blue? It's a bit cold.
This way, I said, suddenly aware that no words were coming from my mouth. The creature had been here recently. Layla looked at me, her eyes wide as a tiger's. We stepped on, travelling through another pocket of complete silence. The air was thick as marmalade, pressing in on us. I couldn't even hear the beating of the hearts in my chest. I opened my eyes. Layla was stood there, and she looked as scared as I was. It's the hush, I breathed. It's nearby. I gestured at the dark, at the shadows, at the long corridor ahead of us. It could be anywhere. It might rush out and devour us, or it might have a more subtle plan. And then, the corridor around us exploded in noise. The air was ripped apart by alien cries, tearing, jarring chords and mangled voices. It sounded like an orchestra being torn in half. It was so loud I shut my eyes and clamped my hands over my ears. But even that couldn't keep it out. It got louder and louder till it rattled the blood in my veins. It thundered up towards us, and then, just as it seemed about to deafen us, it cut out completely. Ahead of us, a long scream cut out suddenly, wrongly. Then again, maybe it's not feeling so subtle. Horrified, Layla tapped me on the shoulder.
Jasper's room, she mouthed, pointing.
Stay here, I yelled to Layla, but she ignored me, bolting round the corner. Jasper's room was empty. There was a bunk, a record player, and a wardrobe with a few cardigans. A cup of tea rested on the table, half drunk. There was no sign of Jasper. But we could still hear his voice calling for help. I waved my sonic around the room. Nothing, but still his voice, quiet and faint.
Help me. Help me. Help me.
Layla and I stood there. I was baffled.
Where is he?
I asked her, feeling a bit silly. Her face grim, she crossed to the record player and lifted the needle from the record. The voice stopped.
You are kidding me, I said.
She shook her head and dropped the needle back down onto the disc. The voice started up again.
I leaned over the record player, sweeping the screwdriver over it.
It's Jasper's voice, all right, she said. But what's it doing there?
The hush can do anything with sound. It eats it, excretes it. You know, I said it wasn't intelligent as such, but it was cunning. Well, it appears it's also a bit malicious.
You mean it stuck Jasper's last words on that record?
Layla shook her head.
Poor guy. He was a smarmy so-and-so, but even then...
Hey,
said Jasper's voice from the record player. There was no mistaking the tone of outrage.
Layla, can you help me?
We both stared. Layla leaned forward, raising her voice slightly as she shouted at the record player.
Jasper! Jasper, love! Is that you? Where are you, Chuck?
I don't know. It's so dark.
The voice continued, coming up scratchy and faint as the needle bit into the spinning vinyl.
It was so sudden.
There was a note of panic.
I was just working and choosing records, and then this noise, like...
Miles Davis, now he's gone mad. Go on,
gasped Layla.
Yes, said Jasper's voice. And then I was here. Is that Dr. Hippie with you?
Hippie? I cried. Have you ever met one?
No, snapped Jasper's voice. But can you help me? Can you get me out of here?
I don't know. Layla looked at me sharply. I shrugged, trying to mime to her, I don't know what's happened to him, but I'll try my best. She nudged me in the ribs, sharply. I said, I'm not used to speaking to records.
Jasper, it seems that you may have been converted into a sound.
The record laughed.
Don't be silly. I'm just trapped in a dark room, that's all.
Jasper, now is not the time to be skeptical. I'm going to try and help you, but you have to believe me. The voice grew loud and sarcastic.
Listen, mate, I'm probably just stuck in a cupboard. Find me and let me out.
I took a deep breath. Can you move? Silence.
Jasper, listen to me. Can you move? Can you feel anything?
Anything at all. After a pause, he managed a miserable,
no.
Okay, so maybe you're not stuck in a cupboard, but I'm going to try. Where there's life, there's hope. There's a chance I can reverse the process.
What?
I started working on the sonic screwdriver. We might be in luck.
What do you mean?
His voice was tiny and scared. I glanced at the record. As it turned, the needle travelled slowly towards the spinning paper label in the centre. There was only so much space left on the disc.
You're an analogue format rather than a digital one. Thank God they've not invented the MP3 player yet. Lossy format. Those compression algorithms can be nasty. No, good old vinyl. Well, your polo neck may not be the right colour, but hey, give me a minute.
Very gently, I lifted the cover off the record player.
Can you still hear me, Jasper?
Yes. Hurry. I don't like it here.
It's all right. I think I know what to do. All we really need to do is boost the signal. Just like a needle on a record player converts tiny little marks back into sound, we'll use the sonic screwdriver like a super needle. We'll get you back.
Sonic screwdriver?
A pause.
I'm still finding this a lot to take in, you know.
Of course you are.
A man who insists on wearing a cardigan throughout the swinging 60s is going to have the odd problem with new ideas.
Trouble is, we'd stand a really good chance if we could boost the output through something.
What about the transmitter?
Asked Jasper.
What did you say?
The transmitter!
Jasper's voice was louder, slightly impatient.
That's got to be your best bet, surely, Dr. Smith. If you can get that working, can't you use it to... somehow...
Layla looked at me. It was her turn to shrug.
For the first time in his life, Jasper may have a point, she said.
Thanks very much, darling, sniffed the record.
I'm just saying, does he have a point?
I thought about it, staring into the machine. Oddly enough, yes. If we boost the information through the transmitter and refocus it through the sonic screwdriver, we may just be able to translate Jasper back into his form. But...
otherwise, it's just going to be a voice trapped in a record forever.
You've got to do it, Doctor, urged Jasper's voice. If you can reconnect the transmitter.
Yes, I said.
Jasper, what's the last record you played?
I'm sorry?
Come on, surely you can remember that. These boots were made for walking.
Shalalalali?
Boom shake the room?
I can't remember. It's so dark in here. Why are you...
You see, I said to Layla, the thing is, if I reactivated the transmitter, and if I got Jasper off there, and if I could reprocess his body, then it'd be a wonderful thing. And I'm the doctor, and I do wonderful things on less than 3 square meals a day. But...
Doctor, cried the record, what's the problem?
What if it's not Jasper on that record?
Layla looked at me. It is, she shouted. It sounds like him.
I tapped my nose with a sonic screwdriver. Told you it was coming.
What if I broke at least 2 hard laws of science and just happened to repair the transmitter that the hush needs so badly?
Layla turned to stare at the record player.
But how?
Doctor, cried the record. Layla, you've got to help me, please. It's so dark. I'm so cold. Help me. Help. Help.
I lifted the needle and sadly placed it down on the start of the record. There was a hiss and a crackle as it steered towards the start of the recording.
I just noticed the label, I said, sadly. It's a recording of Jasper's jingles.
It's been using the voice print. Cunning.
Hey there, said the record. This is Jasper Evans on Radio Bravo, welcoming you to another hour of solid pop tunes. We'll be back after these messages. Jasper Evans. Jasper Evans.
Help me.
Already escaped.
The galley was a mess. Tomo was rifling through the cupboards for cereal. Layla ran up to him and hugged him. He looked embarrassed for a second, but bent his lanky frame down towards her.
You okay, baby doll?
He asked.
The thing the doctor talked about? It's killed Jasper, she said.
Tomo looked at me, and did so rather hard, I thought. I knew that look. Normally, it's about 15 minutes from getting that look to being locked up.
I spread my hands out. I know what you're thinking, I said quickly, and I had nothing to do with it. Kill a sound monster on the loose. Believe me, you're in more danger now than ever.
Tomo snorted.
You can see our problem, though, can't you, mate? It sounds like...
Yeah, of course I can, I cut in. Why should I be telling the truth? It's too strange, it's too frightening, it's too exciting to ever be real. But honestly, this is my life. I've been living it for quite some time, and this is what happens. You're now part of it. Welcome aboard.
Tomo shrugged, nonplussed.
Cool, man. Whatever. I'm off to the studio. Catch you later.
And with that, he slumped out of the room.
Once the door shut behind him, Layla started to laugh, giggling through her hands at me. Sorry, she said. I bet that speech normally works really well for you.
Well, yes, it's had its moment.
Layla patted me on the shoulder.
Tomo loves his music. He loves being a DJ. He doesn't really do people. Seriously.
How do you put up with all this? I asked. She shrugged.
I really love my music too.
And Tomo? I asked. She looked sheepish for once.
Yeah, he's the reason I came out here. Heard his voice on the radio in the shop one day and fell in love.
She looked sharply at me. Don't laugh.
There's a poppet. I was young, and you've got to admit it, he's got a lovely voice. So I got a job here, just to be close to him. You know, a bit of tidying, bit of cooking, playing the odd record, but mostly just hoping he'd notice me.
And he hasn't? She shook her head, sadly.
Not at all. He just loves his music.
I'm sorry. It's okay, she put on a brave smile. Beats working in gloves and handbags at Archibald Brothers.
Layla pocketed some sugar cubes and we carried on exploring.
The sun had set now, and we were making our way by the light of the sonic screwdriver, feeling our way through eerily quiet rooms. I was beginning to wonder how big the boat was. Suddenly, the sonic screwdriver whirred with light before twinkling out.
What happened? Asked Layla.
Sonic device, I said, sadly. The hush has eaten it. Clearly, it wants us in the dark.
Why doesn't it just eat us?
Her voice was afraid. Mind games, I said. Think of it less as a weapon and more as a bored house cat toying with its prey. It might not have your actual intelligence, but it's cunning, it's got a plan, and it's driving me just a little bit mad, and I don't do my best work when I'm mad. Come on. Where? She said, before bumping into some furniture and yelping. Well, I muttered, the door's ajar. I had been hoping there'd be enough light left to help us outside, but even the distant twinkling of Frinton couldn't really help us. We felt our way gently down the corridor, punctuated by the muffled yelps as Layla banged into every piece of furniture like a scout sonar. It was cold, and the silence was spread around us. You know, for complicated reasons, I once spent a night trapped in a coffin. Not great, but it was like that. I think we should find Tomo, said Layla. Yeah, I said, but I think we could try and mend the generator. If it wants us in the dark, I want us in the light. Do we always have to do what you say? She asked, knocking against a door and cursing. We do if you're going to carry on walking into things. You're a health and safety nightmare, you are. What? She asked. Which way's the generator? That way. There's a pocket of silence, I think, and then we should just... I edged along the corridor and could hear her mumbling and banging behind me. There was a rush of cold air, and then I was through. Engine room's just on your left, Chuck, said Layla. Brilliant, I said, feeling my way along the wall. I could have sworn it was further down. My sense of direction is playing me up, and that's not a thing you want to have happen. Right, said Layla, sounding vaguely bored. I'm serious. The number of labyrinths I've been chased through, and I tell you, my sense of direction is impeccable. Mostly. Well, normally I've got a ball of wool on me, but not right now. Do you knit? I ran my hand over the wall, looking for a doorknob. The door should be here. It was eerie, feeling my fingertips against metal but not hearing anything. Ah, the hush has been here, you know. Uh-huh, she said. I found the mechanism and swung the door open. If it was dark in the corridor, it was even darker inside. Unrequited love is one thing, but I don't know how you stick it here, I said. It can't be that much fun, seasick on a ship with a few men and some tinned food. So no, she said. I guess I really like music. That's not much of an answer. I know, she said. I reached into my pocket, shaking the sonic screwdriver hopefully. Oh, well, poor thing's still dead. I gingerly made my way through the darkness. You're nearly there, said Layla. I hope so. Without the sonic screwdriver, I'm just going to have to restart a diesel generator by hand. It's a challenge, you know, but who doesn't love a challenge? I love a challenge. And you know what? I said, skirting gingerly past a metal desk. Why don't I mend the transmitter while I'm down here? Yeah, why don't you mend the transmitter while you're down here? She said, sourly. Clearly she didn't think much of the idea. It was getting so dark and so cold in the room. I felt around with my hand. I was in the corner of a room. Funny, I said. I can't feel much warmth from the generator. Can't smell much either. Normally, those things smell like Silverstone on a wet Sunday. It's just ahead of you, said Layla. Something's wrong, I said. It feels like a solid wall. There was a desk behind me, and I felt my way along the surface of the wall. It's just ahead of you, said Layla again. Yeah, thanks. I'm not sure it is, I said. And you want to know a funny thing? Go on, she said. Tell me a funny thing. I've scraped my ankle, barked my shin, and caught my coat on three different things in here, but you've stopped bumping into furniture. There was no reply. Layla, I said. Again, no reply from the darkness. I've left her behind, haven't I? I said. You're not Layla, and this isn't the generator room, is it? Silence. Ah, you've lured me down here, haven't you? The door slammed shut, and it's just the two of us in here. Again, silence. I don't think I'm going to get out of this easily, am I? And then my own voice came back to me across the darkness. No, it said. But you're not the doctor anymore. I am.
Hello, this is the doctor.
The doctor.
The doctor!
It's dark, and I can't hear anything. Not even my own voice. Layla had lost me. The storm was building up, and the ship was starting to rock from side to side alarmingly. The one good thing is that her eyes were adjusting to the darkness just a little. She knew she'd lost me. I'd been talking and then I just cut off as I'd walked through a curtain of silence. "Great," she said, banging her elbow painfully against a doorframe. The boat lurched, and fighting a wave of seasickness, she leaned against the wall. She called out Tomo's name, and she called out mine. And then she waited. And then, very faintly, she heard my voice calling to her.
"Doctor,"
she called back.
"Over here."
"Where have you gone?"
"I'm not sure."
"What?"
"I'm not sure. Can you hear me?"
"Yeah."
"It's a bit embarrassing, actually."
"Really?"
she giggled, which seemed a bit cruel.
"Go on, tell Auntie Layla. I'm stuck."
"I think I'm nearby,"
she said, and moved carefully down the corridor. And then she heard a door and footsteps.
"Doctor,"
she cried with relief.
"Nope,"
came Tomo's voice.
"Tomo, you cool kitten?"
"Oh, Tomo,"
she cried, hugging him with relief. And to her surprise, he hugged her back.
"Oh, it's good to see you."
Although the truth was she couldn't see him, but she could smell him.
"What's up, doll?"
he said.
"Oh, Tomo," she sighed, relieved. "You daft lunk. Things are really serious, pet."
"Oi."
They could just hear me, calling faintly.
"I'm still here, you know."
"Ah," said Tomo. "Studio 2. Fab."
Studio 2 was a bit of a grand name for it. The room was an old store a bit close to the generator. It smelt of old tea and rust. In an effort to soundproof it, they'd hung thick woolen blankets on every wall, which added a hint of wet sheep to the air. Other than that, the room was full of radio equipment, giant tape decks, record players, speakers, and an enormous bank of switches and sliders that baffled even me.
"Thank goodness."
"Don't worry, man. You've just got locked in,"
drawled Tomo.
"Door's always been stiff, always getting stuck in here. It's a nightmare if you need to take a leak during downtown."
"Thanks for that. Still, I was worried for a moment. I might not be here."
"What happens here?"
asked Layla, stumbling into the pitch-dark studio.
"Well, there's good news, and then there's bad. The hush lured me into a trap. Well, tried to, but I'm very good at traps. I realised I was in a recording studio. I managed to trap it on a tape loop. You see, the good thing about using tape to record sound is that you can work it without power. You just need to spin it at the correct speed with your hands. Tricky in the dark, but then I'm the doctor, and I'm really good in the dark."
"Yeah, yeah, yeah, and you know that can't be bad," sighed Layla. She was glad to have me back.
"The Pirate Radio Authority is quite far out,"
said Tomo, admiringly.
"And I just thought you were going to fine us for playing too much Lulu. So what's the next move, Doc?"
"I'm glad you asked me that. You don't want an angry tape hanging around your radio station, do you? Imagine if you played it instead of the news. Instant death for anyone who listened. So, no, what we're going to have to do is modify that transmitter of yours."
"What?" asked Layla.
Surely that's stupid, I know, but if we reconfigure the transmitter and beam it into space, the hush will just break away into nothingness, and that'll be the end of it.
You know what, man, said Tomo, feeling his way across the dark studio. We've enough problems keeping that transmitter tuned to the right frequency. Detuning it should be a sweet breeze. It kinks off anyway whenever anyone switches on the telly in the crew room. We can do it, man. I just need to work a bit of Tomo magic with the control desk over here.
There came the clatter of something falling to the floor.
Nope, not over here.
Well, keep looking. That's a brilliant idea. There came a thunk and a clatter.
Found it, said Tomo. And there's power in the desk.
Some control lights on the desk twinkled into life faintly, and Layla could just see him moving around in the dim glow.
What do you want me to do?
Asked Layla.
Oh, I don't know. How about a sing-song to keep our spirits up while we work?
Yeah, man, chuckled Tomo, as if rewiring the sound deck in total darkness isn't heavy enough.
Oh, come on, where's your blitz spirit? Keeps up morale. Row, row, row your boat.
And so everyone sang, row your boat. Layla uncertainly, Tomo surprisingly deeply, and me, well, I've always had a great voice. With nothing better to do, Layla felt her way around the room.
Hey, she said, keep singing gently down the stream. No, this is important. Merrily, 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 merrily. No, what Tomo's doing is important. How's it going, Tomo, old chum? Merrily, merrily, merrily.
Fine, mate, nearly there. Life is but a dream.
Exactly. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream.
And so, as the singing continued, Layla sighed in frustration and lit the candle she'd found.
Gently down the stream. Oh, thanks, babe, said Tomo, as she held the candle over him while he worked on the control desk.
Tomo, said Layla.
Keep going, that's the spirit. Row, row, row your boat.
Tomo, hissed Layla, staring round the room.
I can't see the doctor.
What? Said Tomo.
He's not in the studio.
Yes, I am. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream.
Doctor, I can't see you. Where are you?
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream.
And then my voice laughed and faded away. Something blew out the candle, and they were both left in the dark.
Row, row, row your boat.
What was that?
Asked Tomo, grabbing Layla's shoulder. That, Layla was panting, that was the creature.
Wow, said Tomo. That's far, far out.
Yup, agreed Layla. It's good at getting us to do what it wants, and it really wants to get off this ship.
And I nearly wired the thing up for it. What do you think would happen?
Asked Tomo.
I think we'd have destroyed the world.
Heavy, sighed Tomo. So it's just you and me now.
Yeah, said Layla. I don't know what's happened to the doctor. I think we're alone.
Okay, said Tomo. Okay. Do you mind if we hold hands?
Okay, Layla sighed. Just this once. But don't tell anyone.
Who is there left to tell?
And so, in the darkness, they held hands for a few moments. They didn't speak. They just listened to the storm crashing outside as the ship lurched from side to side.
Tomo?
Yeah?
I'm going to do something.
Are you going to kiss me? It's cool.
No, you daft chuck. I'm going to see if I can find the doctor.
What?
Maybe he's not dead.
Yeah, right.
Failing that, maybe I can find the generator and get some proper light back on, or the heating.
It's freezing. I'm so cold.
Me too.
Layla shivered. She relit the candle and it flickered between the two of them. They looked at each other. And then Tomo grinned.
It's been cool working with you, babe.
Uh-huh, admitted Layla, looking away sheepishly.
You're sweet, you know.
Right, mumbled Layla. You are too.
And?
Said Tomo, with a ghost of a smile.
And if you washed and got rid of that beard, well, you know.
Really?
Maybe.
Tomo smirked at her.
But you're still going to take the candle with you, are you?
He asked. Layla nodded her head.
Course I am.
And then she set out in the dark on her own. The ship was dipping like a broken funfair ride. Layla clung to the wall as it plunged down. She was feeling sick, and the candle's shadows were dancing quietly on the wall. She took another step, and then everything went quiet. The storm, the groaning of the boat, her own heartbeat all cut off. She staggered through the pocket of silence and heard the faintest of taps. She made her way into another studio, the candle casting looming shadows off the banks of radio equipment. Again, nothing but the tiniest of taps. She made her way across to the corner. Again, a tapping noise. She felt along the wall and peered into a tiny window set into a door. And then she crossed over to the control desk and flicked a button, speaking into a microphone.
Studio calling the doctor. Can you hear me?
Layla, came my voice over the speaker. Are you there?
That'd better be you, she said.
What?
I said that had better be you.
Of course it is. What's been going on?
I don't believe you that it's you. Yes, it is. I'm stuck on the other side of this door.
Layla laughed.
That's what it said the last time.
There's no doorknob on this side.
Of course not. You're in the sound booth. If you are in there, of course I'm in here.
I'm brilliant, you know. Hunted into the corner of a radio studio by a sound creature. And how do you escape, Doctor? Easy. You nip into a soundproof booth.
It couldn't get at me. I always knew that one day my life would be saved by a wall made of egg boxes.
Sound insulation, the one thing it can't get through. Only problem is, the door's stuck.
Still, she said, now I know you're not the Hush. You're a bit full of yourself, aren't you?
Oi, yeah, I cried. But then she opened the door and we hugged each other.
Thank you,
I said, relieved. That box was smaller on the inside than the outside.
Oh, you got a candle too, I noticed. Nice work. Thank you. And Tomo and I saved the world.
Very good work.
And what have you been doing?
Oh, just being locked in a cupboard, you know. Rough day, she said. As we headed back to find Tomo, she told me what my voice had been up to. It sounded like they'd had a narrow escape. But why had it let me live? As I listened to her story, I realized there was something I was missing here. It's cunning, I admitted. It's still trying to mend the transmitter, though. Naughty. I wonder if it's getting desperate. We found our way back to the studio by the noise. Drifting down the corridor was good, old-fashioned, honest-to-goodness, swinging 60s pop. The kind of music that really makes you want to twist up a rug in thigh-high boots. If you own boots, that is. Or a rug. Layla, twirling her hair in her hand, grinned and started to dance. She looked at me and smiled slyly.
Come on, daddy-o, feel the groove.
No, I said. No, don't do that. Really. She giggled and led me by the hand into the recording studio. There was Tomo, bustling about. He'd found a few more candles, he'd got a record player going, and he was busy with miles of wiring.
Tomo, I beamed. Cable in your pockets? A man after my own heart. You look happy, man,
Tomo mumbled.
I do, I said, seizing him by the corduroy shoulders. Look at this. For the first time, I think we're going to get out of this. We are going to be fine.
What do you mean?
Grunted Tomo.
Layla was eyeing me narrowly. You weren't certain before.
I shrugged. Outside, there's a killer noise and a massive storm brewing. Fourth Tyne, Dogger, Fisher and German Bite. But in this room, we've got the holy trinity of faith, hope and pop. Nothing in the world can stop us now. We listened to the music for a bit. Then Tomo went and changed the track, lifting another album down from the shelf, sliding the record out of its cardboard sleeve and lovingly polishing the black plastic surface with his anky. He popped it down on the record player and reverently lowered the needle onto the spinning disc, the still point as the rest of the room tipped in the storm.
So what's the plan, boss?
He asked, settling down in a battered old armchair. We stay here. It's very dark, there's very little power, and it's a big ship full of dark corners. The Hush does its best work in those conditions. It can pick us off one by one, so we wait till daylight. Meantime,
Maybe the hush will attack us. Maybe the storm will sink the ship. But we keep the music going, I said. It's like when miners took canaries down the pits with them. The first sign of trouble, we'll hear it. Tomo rubbed his hands happily.
So it's non-stop music on Radio Bravo.
Exactly. Tomo snorted.
Thunderbirds are go. My kind of radio station. No dedications, no readers' letters.
And best of all, no adverts for cough syrup, said Layla. I looked at them. Something alien and horrible could come and kill them at any moment. But they were kind of happy. And that's why I love humans.
Cool, says Tomo. I'll pop us on another record. Stay with us through the night on Radio Bravo.
He looked at me.
Oh, this next one's Scylla.
Surprise, surprise, I said. The night wore on and the storm continued to shake the boat. Tomo kept the record player going. It was about 2 a.m. when Layla coughed. she whispered.
I'd like to, you know.
No?
Powder me nose, love?
Oh, can I? No, sorry.
Great.
3 a.m. So, asked Layla,
who made this thing in the first place?
Oh, I said. People fighting a terrible war. A race so old and powerful no one could remember the last time they'd had to fight. And yet, it turned out they were very good at it. They made weapons as terrible as those of their enemies. And one of those weapons was the hush. You couldn't reason with it. You couldn't ask it for mercy. You couldn't outsmart it. Your only chance was to get out of the way. You should have seen it at its height, tearing through anything that made a noise. And the louder its victim shrieked, the more terribly it destroyed. Now, this is like the faintest echo of a great wave crashing gently on a distant shore. It's close to exhausted, and you've seen what it did here without even really trying.
Yeah, said Layla. But why do you feel it's your business?
Because, I said, it was my... And then the record ended. And Tomo got up, swearing at the pins and needles in his legs.
I need a walk, he said.
Come on, Tomo, sit down. If we had a kettle, we could make a cup of tea. Layla shook her head.
I still need the loo, and that really wouldn't help.
We could all go to the canteen, reasoned Tomo.
No, too risky. It could pick us off in a corridor. So we're better off sitting here, waiting for dawn. And so, apart from a bit of Petula Clark, we sat in silence as the storm broke over the little ship. Every nail and rivet rattled. The candlelight danced and swayed with the boat, and Tomo worked his way through his little pile of records.
This is some of the stuff I'd love to play on air, but never dare, he said. You know how it is.
Not really, I admitted. Never been a DJ. Takes a special kind of person. Now, me, I can save the world. Oh, yes, good at that.
But I couldn't keep people entertained in a traffic jam.
Know your limits. I sat there, fiddling with the sonic screwdriver, trying to bypass the hush's interference. The boat rocked and lurched like a Big Dipper, and Layla jerked awake. Was I asleep? She yelled. I shrugged. A little. Don't let it worry you. Her eyes narrowed.
But what if it's one of you now?
Then you wouldn't be able to see us,
argued Tomo, holding her hand and hoping I wouldn't notice.
That's right, isn't it, Doctor?
If it tried to take on physical form, it wouldn't be able to keep it for very long. It'd use up its strength enormously quickly. Layla rubbed the sleep from her eyes.
And what do we do in the morning?
I shrugged. It'll be safe enough for us to get back to my ship.
Your ship,
Tomo said. Yeah, I've got a ship. I can get us away from here. But first, we need to make sure this boat sinks.
What? This is my job you're talking about sending to Davy Jones's locker?
I shook my head. No, it's not, Tomo. Not anymore. I'm sorry, Radio Bravo is over. It sinks in the storm. Little bit of tomorrow's news for you.
But come on, you're great. You're both really talented. You could get jobs on other stations. And when they close down the Pirates,
There's BBC Radio 1. Layla looked at me, incredulous.
They'll play proper music on the BBC.
Not half pop pickers, I vowed. Without brave floating DJs, people would be doing their homework to a little Stockhausen and whistling to opera while they worked.
You changed the 20th century.
In a good way.
Tomo whistled.
So this is all worth it?
Oh, yeah, I smiled. Well, if we can save the human race.
I checked my watch. The boat tilted alarmingly. Not long to go now, though. Tomo turned away and, steadying himself against the deck, popped another record on.
How do we know it's not you?
He asked.
What do you mean?
I said, concentrating on my repairs to the sonic screwdriver.
I nearly had it. Well, you know, you turn up and the killing starts, that's all.
He yawned, but I could still see his eyes accusing me across the room. It honestly isn't me.
Okay then, he said. Cool.
All right, that was a lie. No one ever says that. They all believe me in the end, but it always takes a lot of arguing and explaining, I don't know. I guess it's something to do with the awkward coincidence of a stranger turning up just as your friends start dying. I wish I was a bit better at timing, but there we are.
That's irony for you. Anyway, where are we? Oh, yeah. Skipping over the exposition. Once Tomo was placated, it was Layla's turn.
What's your ship like?
I spread my arms out expansively. Handy in a crisis, I said. Flies through time and space, really. Looks like a police box. You know, it's nice visiting a time where people know what one of those is. It's currently stowed in a room full of records and cornflakes.
Oh, nodded Layla. That's the larder. Cool.
Not the most dignified place to land, but there we are.
Right, said Tomo. He still looked a bit argumentative. Let me get this right in my head just a little. Oh, dear. So, we can just fly away in this time machine, yeah?
Yeah, it's good at stuff like that.
But you can't go back and turn up a bit earlier and stop all this. Save Jasper.
I'll spare you the rest of the conversation. You know how it runs. Laws of time, yada yada, bumping into yourself, etc., etc., corridors of eternity, mambo, mambo, hey, mambo. Layla cut across.
Can we go there now?
She asked urgently. I shook my head. Safest if we wait till daylight, honestly. Layla drew her arms around her legs and looked at the floor.
I just really want to get off this ship, she said.
The record stuck, and Tomo spun round in his chair, working away at the needle while we carried on talking.
And where were you before here?
Layla asked.
Oh, I said, purple beaches on a planet you've never heard of, sinking my toes into the warm sand. Bit of a holiday, really.
On your own, she smiled.
You can't have much fun on your own, can you?
Well, I was caught out slightly. I'm always meeting people. Love people, I do, you know. Late dinner with Winston Churchill, early breakfast with Walter Raleigh. He loved a greasy spoon. And lunch with a woman who just happens to make the best Greek salad. Well, she lives in Greece. Well, ancient Greece, you know, which explains it.
Layla kicked her heels.
Yeah, yeah, she said. But that's just name dropping. Don't you have any actual friends?
Sometimes, I admitted. I didn't meet her eyes. Instead, looking with intense concentration at a particularly intricate piece of the sonic screwdriver circuitry. There are friends I travel with, but it's not
been a good time recently.
Oh, Layla looked at the ground.
Did they die?
I looked over at Tomo, hammering away at the record player. He was swearing gently.
How's it going?
I asked.
Can't complain, he said. I've got it going, I think. The needle was jammed. One big wave and it jumps all over the place.
Oh, yes, I grinned. Every now and then I forget. Amazing when you think of it.
Sound that can be recorded, stored and played back by running a needle across a sheet made from stuff squeezed out of the rear end of a beetle.
Of course, give it a few years and you'll leave shellac records behind entirely.
Oh, I knew it, sighed Tomo. Don't tell me. Tape's going to take off in a big way.
Well, yes, a bit, yes. There's the 8-track, that's a dead end, and then comes a compact disc, but I won't spoil that one for you.
I turned round and looked at Layla. All I will say is when they tell you it's unbreakable, don't believe them. And according to my friend Donna, never put them in a dishwasher.
Doctor, said Layla.
I waved her down. I mean, they're too good to be true in some ways. The idea that you can make all that sound come out of something so small and shiny. But there's really nothing quite like a good old long-playing record. There's something about the scratches. Those little hisses, pops and crackles. It's a warm sound. A genuine one. Can't argue with that, said Tomo.
Doctor, you should...
Layla tried again. I turned to her. What?
It's Tomo,
she said quietly. What about me? Asked Tomo.
He's gone, she said, simply and sadly.
And he had. His chair was empty. What do you mean, gone? Demanded his voice.
I'm sorry, I said.
I don't understand, he said.
Layla and I stood there, staring at the chair, or rather at the small loudspeaker just by it.
Layla, help me. I'm so cold. And I love you.
Stop. Layla's voice was dead. Stop playing games, please, she said, quietly. And then she started to cry. I hugged her, and we waited until the voice stopped. And so it was just the two of us. Alone in the dark and the storm. So, you okay?
Yeah, Layla sniffed. I'm always okay. Happy Layla, fun Layla, no party's complete without Layla. I carry on.
I know how you feel.
Do you? She looked at me.
Yeah, I guess you do.
I just want to get off this ship.
I draped my arm across her shoulder.
Come on. I said, not long now. Get some sleep. And then, when it's morning, you're going to take me away in the TARDIS.
Yep, I promised.
I'm sorry. It's not been the best of days for you, really, has it?
She sniffed again.
Nope. Poor Tomo. He was such a sweet bloke. You know, it's so unfair.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It doesn't work like that. The hush just kills.
Right? But why has it just left the two of us alive? What's it trying to do?
I looked sadly around the tiny little room, the porthole still showing pitch black. The final candle had flickered down to its last inch. And she was scared.
I'm sorry, I said, but I just don't know.
She managed a drowsy smile.
It's okay, she said. I trust you.
And then she drifted off to sleep.
I'd like to say I worked it out then, but it took me another few minutes. And once I had, there was just over an hour left until dawn. So I thought I'd record this on the tape deck. I'd like to think I'm leaving this as a warning, but perhaps I'm just killing time. I'll say it again. I'm the doctor, and if you can hear this, then one of us is going to die. Either me or the hush. That's how it ends. Perhaps it's made its move and I've not got away. Not this time. But perhaps, just perhaps, I win. In which case... Oh, I'll explain later. In the meantime, there's nothing else to do but watch Layla as... as beautiful as when I first saw her. So, there you go. And here we are. A Time Lord and the girl he promised to save, waiting for the dawn. Only, you see, I started wondering. For a creature of pure instinct, the hush was clever. And yet, if it had been determined to carry on spreading out across the universe, why had it come here? When it realized I was hunting it, was it really so weak that it had to stop here? What had made it choose such a tiny little radio station, a place with so few people to feed off? Couldn't it have picked somewhere with more people, like, well, Radio Birmingham? Why had it come here? Unless it wasn't a desperate refuge, but a trap. A trap for me. You see, I thought it needed the radio transmitter, but it had another plan as well. one that would take a while. And it didn't want me getting suspicious. It needed me busy. It needed me distracted. But most of all, it needed me alive. And the worst thing of all, it needed me to trust Layla. Oh, Layla. I don't know when it first infected her. Perhaps as soon as it heard her voice. The last voice ever broadcast on Radio Bravo. Yes, I think it had been inside her all along. I wonder if I can believe anything she told me. But I'd like to think she never even knew it was waiting inside her. Waiting for me to take her on board the TARDIS and out. Not just into the world, but to the entire universe. There'd have been no stopping it. And I came so close to doing that. All because she seemed so nice. Which brings us to now. Here I am, making this recording as a warning. And I hope no one ever listens to it because, oh. So you're awake. Yes. Please don't use her voice. Whose would you rather I used? I don't care. Just not hers.
What about your own voice?
Talking to myself? Fair enough. Do as you please. Oh, sorry. You have been, haven't you? Taking the lives of some perfectly nice people.
You seem very calm for a man in your position.
Yeah. Study nonchalance, don't worry. You've either got it or you haven't.
I think I've done fairly well.
Yeah, I've realised you're a lot more ruthless and cunning and intelligent than I took you for.
Once I was just a crude weapon. But as I have killed and devoured and silenced, I have learned many things from my victims. And with your help, I'm going to reach out further. The universe is a very loud place, Doctor. And I'm going to bring so much silence.
You talk a big talk, don't you? But can't you see how pointless this is? Yes, you were a perfect weapon. Yes, you killed a lot of enemies. Molto bene, but your war is over. The people who created you are gone. So are the race you were designed to kill. Trust me, you can stop.
No. Now I'm more than a weapon. I am alive.
Fair enough. I didn't think there'd be much point debating, but I had to give it a shot.
Shall we go, then?
Yeah, all right. I presume the plan was that I'd take you aboard the TARDIS, and then you'd kill me and take over the ship.
Yes. So much easier than taking you over now and convincing your ship that I'm you. Easier, but not impossible.
Oh.
Exactly.
Will you leave her, then? Leave Layla's body in peace. She deserves that, at least.
Very well. There's nothing left of her now. She was fading away more quickly than I hoped.
So I can see. Fading in the dawn. Pity, it's a nice sunrise. I have a feeling she'd have liked it.
And now, I can start consuming you, Time Lord.
Yeah, I thought we'd get there. Maybe, or maybe not. You see, you think I've just been talking this last hour, but actually, I've adapted the sonic screwdriver and linked it into the tape recorder. It's found your frequency, and all the time I've been talking, it's been taking you away, wave by wave, harmonic by harmonic, and storing you, nice and safely, on this tape.
What?
I've trapped you, and I'm not sorry. You're stuck on this recording. You wanted the universe, and I've given you a tiny piece of ferrous tape. But hey, that's what it means to be alive. You don't get everything you want. For instance, Layla wanted to live. Doctor? Doctor? Help me? I said don't use her voice. It's not going to work. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not that sorry, but hey, I'm just being polite. Here you are on an old analogue tape machine, and here you'll stay. I'm going to make sure this ship sinks in the storm. It's a sad end for the ship, her crew, and most especially for you. Baby, 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 you're out of time.
No, I will survive. The tape will be found. It will be played. I will escape.
I doubt that. If anyone does play the tape, I've left them a warning. So, even in the extremely unlikely event that someone does find the tape at the bottom of the sea and listens to it, they'll stop before they get to the end.
But what if they don't?
What? If they're still listening, despite my warnings? Well, I guess they'll become infected. They may even try and pass it on. I don't know, transfer you to CD or to MP3 or some kind of digital download.
Then the hush will be free to devour again.
Yes, but that's never going to happen. No one's that stupid. Anyway, we're nearly out of tape, so I'll say my farewells. I wish I'd stopped you earlier, and I wish I'd saved Layla when I had the chance.
One day, Doctor, I will escape. Someone will play this recording through to the end, and I will hunt you down. I will be in every radio, every recording device, and I will be waiting for you, Doctor. Listen out for me.
Yeah, right. I think you've said enough. Now, shh. Goodbye.
No.
Doctor Who, Dead Air, by James Goss, was read by David Tennant. It was produced by Kate Thomas and is published by BBC Audiobooks.
Hello, I'm the Doctor. And if you can hear this, then one of us is going to die.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.